Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I want to give you an update on the situation in Pakistan. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that Pakistan is sitting on the verge of an absolute disaster. They are rapidly running out of cash. They are a net importer, so they're having to import large quantities of oil and food to keep the country going. And unfortunately, we've seen a massive crash in the Pakistani rupee over the course of the last couple of days. So things are starting to get a lot worse. And I get asked the question a lot as to what happens when a country collapses. And I think what we're seeing in Pakistan at the moment is exactly that. We are seeing various stages of things starting to get much worse, falling apart. And unfortunately, as it stands right now, it looks like Pakistan is heading towards a financial disaster. So in today's episode, we'll go through exactly what's happened with the Pakistani rupee. On Thursday, the 26th of January, it fell by almost 10%. That is the largest single movement in the last 20 years. This is an absolute disaster. So we'll go through exactly what happened to the currency, why it fell so rapidly in one day, what's been going on with the black market and the attempts by the central bank to support the currency to set an artificial rate. We'll then have a look at what's happening with regards to inflation and interest rates, because there's been a movement in interest rates over the last few days as well. We'll then talk about the IMF, because Pakistan's in discussions with the IMF with regards to the bailout. The money has been suspended because the fiscal policies haven't been updated quickly enough. We'll then have an update on the situation with regards to the foreign currency reserves. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen to Pakistan over the course of the next 3 to 6 weeks. This isn't 3 to 6 months. This is happening in a very short space of time. And what the likely outcome is, and what the implications of this are for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm trying to get to 250,000. So if you could help by hitting that button, that would be fantastic. Don't forget, I always include chapters. So if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you would like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube, super thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. And as always, thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel. Really appreciate it. The exchange rate for a currency basically tells you how much it's worth against all the other currencies in the world. And the most benchmark currency is the US dollar. So that's what we refer to in most situations. You look at how much a currency is worth versus the dollar, and that tells you whether or not it's becoming stronger or weaker. Now, countries like Pakistan are net importers. So that means that they're buying more in the international markets than they're selling. And when you're a net importer, you want your currency to be as strong as possible, because it means you've got more purchasing power when you're going into the markets to buy things like oil, gas, and food. So for a lot of central banks in developing countries, their target is to try to keep their currency value as high as possible. And this is what Pakistan has been trying to achieve over the course of the last 12 months. And they had a change of finance minister back in September when the old finance minister was reinstated. And he has a history of trying to support the rupee. So going into the markets, buying currency and artificially adjusting the price. Now, over the course of the last 12 months or so, three different exchange rate markets have opened up in Pakistan. We had the official rate that was being managed and manipulated by the central bank with an attempt to try to keep it as strong as possible. We then had the rate that was being set by the foreign exchange companies. So this was a collection of companies that were basically saying what the official rate would be for all trading deals between companies, either importing or exporting goods into Pakistan. And in addition to those two official rates, we then had the black market rate. And the black market rate, in line with every single market in the world, is the rate that money is changing hands between people on the streets. And one of the problems that Pakistan's been facing over the last few months is that the value of the Pakistani rupee was significantly lower in the black market than it was for the official rates. So this created an arbitrage. And what was happening was that people were buying money at the official rate and then selling it in the black market to make a profit. And of course, this sort of situation can't continue, because when you get something like that happening, then everybody jumps onto it and suddenly you start to see your reserves draining rapidly. And that's what's been happening in Pakistan. So let's now have a look at the exchange rate chart between the US dollar and the Pakistani rupee to talk through this in a bit more detail. This chart shows the movement in the Pakistani rupee against the US dollar over the course of the last 12 months. And before we get into the detail on what's been happening with regards to the official rate and the black market rate, I wanted to point out a couple of things here. Firstly, you can see the massive fall in the value of the rupee on the 26th of January by the sheer vertical line on the right-hand side of this chart. As I mentioned at the start of the video, the value fell by 9.6% in one day. And I'll come on to exactly why that happened in a minute. And the other thing worth noting at this point is that 12 months ago, one US dollar was worth 176 Pakistani rupees. So over the course of the last 12 months, we have seen a decline of 42% in the value of the rupee. So it isn't just a one-day impact. This has been happening over a long period of time. Now, if we look at the shape of this chart, you can see that there's been a steady reduction in the value of the Pakistani rupee over the last 12 months. However, there have been two notable spikes. Between the 16th of July and the 30th of July, the value of the rupee fell from around 210 rupees to around 240 to the dollar. And between September the 5th and September the 20th, the value fell from around 220 to 240. Now, as you can see, these falls in value are very quickly reversed. And what these movements highlight are interventions by the Pakistani Central Bank. This is where they're entering the market, buying currency to try to bring the value back in line with where they want it to be. So the market for Pakistani rupees wasn't trading freely. It was actually being managed and manipulated by the Pakistan Central Bank. So they were trying to bring it back in line with where they wanted it to be. And the problems that this created was that the black market was actually moving in line with where the free market should have been. So the Pakistani rupee was trading for around 250 to $1 in the black markets. However, the official rate was being brought back down to around 220. And what that meant was that we then had a gap between the two markets. So people could go to the official outlets, buy one US dollar for 220 Pakistani rupees, and then sell that one US dollar on the black market for 250. So they were making an instant profit of around 10%. And of course, when you've got a gap in the market like this, it can't continue because essentially what's happening is the official rate of interest is funding all of this profit into the black market. Now, the manipulation and management of a currency isn't something that central banks openly admit to. And the finance minister of Pakistan has actually blamed the commercial banks for trying to bring the exchange rate down. They're saying that they're shorting the market and basically trying to move the currency away from 200 to $1, more towards 250. And they've got an investigation going on about this right now. Now, before we go on to talk about what caused the spike in the exchange rate, we need to look at what's been going on with regards to inflation and interest rates, because the central bank decided it needed to increase interest rates this week, which then had a knock-on impact in terms of the currency. This chart shows the movement in the rate of inflation in Pakistan over the last 12 months. As you can see, this time last year, inflation was already running at a high rate of 13%. And this is in line with what we've seen in many countries all around the world as a result of the release of all of the COVID restrictions. Everybody wanted to do things. There was an increase in demand. And so we saw inflation starting to rise. And what you can see from this chart is that over the course of the last 7 months, that inflation problem has got significantly worse. And the current rate of inflation in Pakistan is running at 24.5%. And the main driver for this is that Pakistan is a net importer. It's importing large quantities of fuel and food. And as you'll know if you follow the channel, over the course of the last 12 months, the price of oil and food substances and other commodities rose dramatically after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Those prices have started to tail off. However, the problem for countries like Pakistan is that the current prices are still well above where the long-term average is, and so everything is now costing more. And this chart shows the movement in food inflation in Pakistan, and this is a really important indicator because Pakistan has a high level of poverty. There are around about 220 million people living in Pakistan, and around 50% of those are living at or below the poverty line. So that means that they're spending the majority of their income on food, and so the movement in the price of food is really critical for these people. And as you can see, over the course of the last 12 months, there has been a rapid increase in the price of food, and food inflation is currently running at around 36%. And this chart shows the movement in the interest rate in Pakistan over the last 12 months. And as you can see, in line with a lot of other countries around the world, The Pakistan Central Bank has been increasing its interest rates on a regular basis, and the most recent movement came on the 23rd of January, when we saw a further 100 basis points increase to the current level of 17%. And this has been in an attempt to try to bring inflation back down. As you'll know if you follow the channel, the traditional theory is that when you have high rates of inflation, if you increase interest rates, that increases the cost of borrowing. Therefore, companies and individuals have less free cash, they should spend less, and therefore it reduces spending and demand, and therefore prices should come back down. That's the theory. So the increase in the interest rate isn't really a big surprise. However, the foreign exchange companies that were setting the official exchange rate for all trade for Pakistani companies decided that enough was enough. They could no longer cope with the increase in interest rates and what was happening in the black market. And so they announced that they were removing all of the controls on the exchange rate for the Pakistani rupee and letting it float freely. And that's what caused a huge drop in the value of the Pakistani rupee on the 26th of January. The combination of the falling exchange rate and the fact that Pakistan is a net importer has led to a drastic reduction in the value of the currency reserves held by the central bank. They're now down to around $4.6 billion, which means that Pakistan now has less than 3 weeks' worth of cash left to keep paying for all of the vital imports such as oil and gas and food. And once that cash runs out, there's a real risk that ships will no longer dock, that they will no longer get any fuel or food supplies, and that will cause a major problem in the whole of the country. And this is something that we saw happening in Sri Lanka recently. We had tankers turning away from the ports because they simply didn't have enough money to be able to make the payments, and so those deliveries were not made. And in the current situation, Sri Lanka is relying upon aid from India, China, and Russia. So Pakistan may well be heading down this road. Now, in an event to try to avoid that, they've been in discussion with the IMF with regards to a bailout. And this isn't the first time that Pakistan have dealt with the IMF. They've actually had multiple bailouts over the last 20 years. This summary from the IMF website shows that Pakistan has been a member of the IMF since 1950. And since it joined, it's received 23 different loans from the IMF. And the total amount outstanding currently is $5.7 billion. Now, back in 2019, the IMF agreed to a $6 billion bailout for Pakistan, and that was actually increased in 2021 to $7 billion. So Pakistan currently has around $1.3 billion undrawn, and it's been trying to get that money off the IMF for the last 6 months or so. However, in November, the IMF decided to suspend all discussions because they didn't believe that the Pakistani authorities had put enough of the measures that they needed in place to try to get the economy back on its feet. And one of those measures was actually to allow the Pakistani rupee to enter the free market to stop all the manipulation and trying to keep the price as high as possible and to let it just float freely. So what we've seen happening over the course of the last few days is actually in line with what the IMF have asked for. So it's a movement towards potentially getting some of that $1.3 billion released. However, Pakistan still has a variety of other tax measures and other things that it needs to bring in before it can tick all of the boxes. Now, the IMF has actually scheduled a visit to Pakistan between the 31st of January and the 9th of February. And that's in an attempt to try to get everything agreed so they can give them this cash. So the clock is really ticking because that's going to come right at the point when Pakistan runs out of all of its cash and can no longer pay for any of its imports. So it's really going to go to the wire here. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we've been following the progress of what's been happening in Pakistan. And over the course of this week, things have got materially worse. We've seen an increase in the interest rate, which is to try to tackle what's happening with inflation. But the reaction to that was that we then had the removal of the official trading rate for the Pakistani rupee. And that's led to a fall in the value of the currency. And this, of course, is a problem for Pakistan because when you're a net importer and you're having to buy things that are priced in dollars in the international market, such as oil and food, when the value of your currency falls, that means that the price is rising in your home market. So that's going to drive up inflation further. So although they've seen a movement in the interest rates, which is trying to bring inflation down, the fall in the value of the rupee is actually going to push prices up. So it becomes a really vicious circle when you get into situations like this. And as we discussed earlier in the video, the cash reserves that Pakistan is sitting on are now dangerously low, less than 1 month's worth of cash to be able to keep buying everything in. So unless it can get that bailout sorted, it's facing the real prospect of an economic collapse and not being able to buy in all of the fuel and food that it needs. So on the fuel side of things, that would mean that we would see more blackouts. And as I reported in my previous video, we had a nationwide blackout for around 12 hours earlier this week. At around 7 a.m. on Monday the 23rd of January, Pakistan suffered a major catastrophic power failure that affected the vast majority of the country. Power was out in all major centres, including the biggest city, Karachi, and the capital, Islamabad. The huge blackout, which came at a time when some of the country is struggling through a harsh winter, was blamed by the country's energy minister on a surge that knocked out the network. However, it's been reported that the electricity was deliberately switched off during the night in order to conserve fuel, and the system failed when the technicians tried to turn the system back on at dawn. Now, this power failure is actually the second time in the last few months that Pakistan has experienced such a wide-scale failure of the system. It was claimed at the time that that was because they had a planned shutdown and they were unable to restart all of the electricity. However, it now looks like it was probably a management thing where they were trying to stretch the fuel that they've got to make it last as long as possible. So if Pakistan is unable to keep buying fuel, we'll see more blackouts like this, and this will have a detrimental impact onto all of the industry in Pakistan, because if you haven't got electricity, you won't be able to produce anything, and therefore you're not selling anything. It reduces your GDP, and this becomes a really horrible vicious circle for countries in this position. So Pakistan really needs to get this bailout money from the IMF as soon as possible. And the removal of the exchange controls is actually a movement towards that, because that was one of the demands from the IMF. And Pakistan, I think, over the course of the next couple of weeks, are likely to agree to all of the other restrictions to try to get that cash in the bank. And in addition to the IMF money, I am sure Pakistan is in discussions with China right now, because if you've been following the channel, you'll know that China have invested a lot of money through its Belt and Road Initiative into Pakistan. And we saw China helping out Sri Lanka, providing some fuel and food. And it may well be that that happens in this situation, that we see more aid going into Pakistan. But the big question is, what will be the cost of that? Because China are likely to structure any deals as loans, and it might be that that then puts more pressure onto Pakistan, and we could see more of the debt trap problems arising in Pakistan over the course of the next 6 months or so. But whatever happens, Pakistan is in dire need of some support immediately, and it needs to get some cash in the bank rapidly if it's going to avoid a full economic collapse. So as always, I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they happen. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end.